Hello, folks. I'm Canadian Git. Can someone give me confirmation that I'm coming through loud and clear? Looks like I'm getting a couple confirmations. So, hello, everyone. One more time. I'm Canadian Git. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes for moderation office hours. If you'd like to ask me questions or see where people were giving that confirmation, I'd invite you to head up to the office hours questions forum just north of the community stage. You'll see a new thread with a moderation office hours and today's date. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes to field any questions you have about moderation, the mentor program, the guidelines more broadly, or, of course, all of Resonite. As I always like to say, you're welcome to ask me any question you can about Resonite. Those are just the topics I know the most about. I will give you always the best answer I can, and if I can't give you a good one, point you in the direction of a better resource than myself. Hope everyone's been having a fantastic weekend so far. I know I'm in the middle of a heat wave, I suppose, up here in Canada. It's been a bit of a scorcher the last couple days. Well, apparently Ireland's having a bit of a heat wave too. Well, I hope you enjoy the weather. For me, it is perhaps already a little bit too warm, though maybe that's just ye old Canadian stereotypes flaring up. Kai saying that they're just stopping in to say hello and wishing us a good day / night. Same to you if you're already out for the day. I hope you have a fantastic end of the weekend and a week that follows. If ever you have other questions, if you didn't have any today, I'll be here next week, same time, same location, if you'd like to ask it then. Or, of course, you can always submit a ticket at the moderation ticket system if you'd like an answer written out for you. Speaking of which, that is to say the ticket system, as a sort of mini PSA, this week I wanted to go over at least briefly how the moderation team handles incoming tickets. We actually have a variety of different help topics you're allowed to use when you submit a ticket that helps categorize them. Security tickets will go off to a sort of coder specific group of individuals that includes some members of the dev team who might be more equipped to handle security concerns. We have the ability to handle general inquiries, which of course go to the whole mod team, but are typically fielded by the mod leads if there's some policy related question they need an answer provided for. And of course, there is the ability to submit a complaint about mentors, mods, staff. That goes to a much more close down a number of individuals, just the mod leads, as the case may be, to allow us to facilitate it as a complaint. So if you want to submit a concern about some other mod, you don't need to be worried about that ticket being visible to the mod you are submitting that ticket about. Of course, most common is just reporting guideline breakage or another user, which is visible to the broader mod team. When it comes to that most common category, reporting all individuals, as we've tried to highlight out here a few times before, it's something that's visible to the entirety of the mod team. The whole of the mod team is able to see all the tickets that come in as they are fielded and as they are restrictions go out, warnings go out, whatever resolution is, and then, of course, for the closing period. What I mean by the closing period is when a mod closes a ticket, it's given 24 hours where it stays open in the system and visible to all other mods, just as a sort of notification period so that other mods are generally aware of what's gone out restriction-wise, and, of course, where they can jump in if anything they see has gone amiss. What this helpfully also provides the mod team as a whole is, of course, a sort of ability for collaboration, because all mods can see all tickets, and be a sort of way to ensure that nothing, bluntly, nothing suspicious occurs. You can't do anything inside of the mod team in terms of closing tickets and handing out account restrictions without it being visible to all other mods. The rest of the mods will be able to see whatever's happening inside of tickets, and the mod leads will be able to see all of the account restrictions handed out. Helps keep us honest, provides a sort of audit for the rest of the team. I see we're fielding a couple of questions, though. Lexcovo asks, can you answer some of Nuki's questions that you didn't get to from last week? Yes, absolutely. I will go back to that question pile. We're having a bit of a quiet weekend. That is an excellent suggestion. I will start pulling from there just after the next one. Where Epic Easton asks, with Resonite being such a tight-knit community, is a possibility that every moderator is friends with the user that gets reported, and if the claims are substantial, maybe even illegal, what would happen in that situation? Well, we obviously try to remove bias as much as humanly possible. Whenever an individual knows people relating to a given ticket, we've instructed mods as part of their training to make that bias salient, report that they're inside of the channel discussion that they have some kind of past relationship with that individual and kind of abstain from dealing with it. If the entirety of the mod team knows a person, we're likely to just repetitively have people meet the refrain of saying, yes, I know this individual, and trying to put that bias to the side, but being forced to still deal with the ticket in some capacity. You're likely to see the mod leads get involved at that point quite substantially, because of course everyone else is going to want to step back if they can. On a hypothetical where literally every single person, including every single mod lead, happens to know a person, we would still field the ticket, just because we all know the individual wouldn't stop us from taking action. But we're trying to parse, of course, the ticket as neutrally, as impartially as we could, and take some effort before we got to handing out restrictions and completing the investigation to find if there was anyone who had a more impartial view. If the claims are substantial and maybe even legal, with a few times we've had a situation where we've needed to deal with a legal side of things, it's typically just passing on relevant information to the relevant information to the relevant authorities as necessary, and it's pretty rare, I would say, looking at the entire history of Resonite and platforms preceding it. But that certainly doesn't change based on knowing the user or any sort of relationship. Of course, if you want any more clarification on that, please ask follow-ups. I think that's just sort of a very broad overview. Let's get back to that other question pile. Give me a second. I'm going to have to scroll for a bit, try and figure out where we left off last. If you have a specific question from the question pile from the last thread that you'd like to bring up, by all means, feel free to just quote it and drag it into this thread. I'll make sure that gets answered. Otherwise, I am going to try and highlight where we were. I think we have a hypothetical here that's pretty extensive and has some other mods weighing in that Nuki wanted elaboration on. Raising a hypothetical such as, if a user says, I don't want to interact with you because I think you're a queerphobe or a COVID denier or mean or under 18 or I just don't have anything in common with you, that's okay. But a second hypothetical, if they've given a reason such as because they're queer or because of their speech impediment annoys me, that's not okay. And then provides a couple quotes from other mods. I think we're just going to rehash this here in perhaps the most straightforward fashion. Our guidelines as it relates to intolerance don't provide protection under the basis of the person you wanting to harass someone. God, that's probably the worst way to say it. If you were trying to exclude individuals in a way that triggers our guidelines concerning intolerance, you're still in trouble, even if you use the defense of something relating to harassment to try and justify that. You could certainly run into a scenario where I think we went over last week where two users are both doing things that are wrong and at different levels of wrong. Perhaps one user is being harassing and the other user is triggered our guidelines on intolerance. And there's a possibility both users could run into problems with moderation in that scenario. But it certainly doesn't wash away any concern relating to our guidelines on intolerance because there are other factors in the scenario. That is, at best, a bit of a broad brush to apply to the entire scenario. So I'm going to say this would be an ideal time for follow-up questions, but I don't know if we have Anuki with us today or anyone else that would be interested in getting a little bit more of a fine-grain answer on that. If anyone's curious, though, I will drop a link for that thread or those questions inside of today's link, so you can wander up and see what we're talking about. I've dropped that into today's thread. Again, if you're looking for that, you can head up to the Office Hours Questions Forum thread just above the community stage where we're here. Later, where you'll find threads with labeled Moderation Office Hours Today's Date. That's where all the questions are coming in for today. I've just put a link in there for this other bin of questions we're going through when things get quiet. Epic Easton asks, does the content team have their own office? I assume this is office hours. No, they don't have a physical space. They may at some point in the future have additional streams coming down the line, showcasing material arriving. Of course, if you're looking for a generalized stream that's going to collect a lot of the content team's actions, I'd recommend putting an eyeball on the recap stream, which is the first stream of every single month. I see that there's also an Aegis Wolf, who's our content team lead, typing away inside of that channel. He might have additional information on that. Hyperzen has a follow-up on the hypothetical we just went over. So if only one of them files one ticket, could both of them end up with moderation action? Yeah, if we become aware of guideline-breaking behavior through a ticket, we'll certainly take action on it. We don't need an independent ticket for every single incident. If we're just, something's brought to our attention, we're going to take action if we're just aware of it. There are obviously certain guideline-breaking behaviors like harassment that almost always come from the person being harassed submitting the ticket because of the nature of harassment. Usually the person feeling harassed is the one who wishes to submit a ticket, but there's certainly no obligation for a user that is having guideline-breaking behavior occurring to them to be the one that reaches out to us. I see a slight follow-up to the other series of questions, and I now I imagine this is part of the broader framework for, like, are there ways you can tell people when blocking them that you're going to block them that triggers our guidelines on harassment rather than intolerance? That was the purpose behind the mentions in our previous hypothetical of saying things like, because they're queer or because they have a speech impediment. I apologize. More broadly, yes, you could absolutely tell someone when you're going to block them or engage in some sort of self-moderation against a person. Tell them of the reasons behind it in a way that could trigger our guidelines on harassment, but it'd have to be rather particular. Our guidelines on harassment, of course, are always persistent unwanted interactions. So you'd have to imagine you've decided to block user A for whatever reason. And then rather than just blocking user A, you continuously needle them with that fact, even after they, for instance, tell you, hey, please stop talking to me. I don't want to talk to you anymore. And then you just persist in providing insult after insult and then give a block. Perhaps you could find yourself slipping into a category where you have also harassed the person that you were blocking because you thought they were harassing you. I went to the intolerance place because they used mention of queerphobe in here. And of course, if people are talking about certain groups that we are protecting under our guidelines on intolerance, that could also potentially trigger some issues under guidelines there. That said, I think we've talked that a bit to death between today and the last session, so I'll rely on follow-up questions to get into more nuance. Let's see what else we got. See that Aegis here has said, just for those who might only be listening in, Aegis says, soon TM, I have to create a schedule for it in regards to office hours for the content team. Going to probably not do streams, but do pre-recorded videos for tutorial content, documentation, and live office hours Q&A. All of that could be very exciting coming down the road. Thank you very much, Aegis. Whip says the moderation team has previously indicated individualized description being a possible target for harassment. How is this defined? It's not in the Rest Night guidelines, but definitely should be. Screenshot taken from the ticket response. Yeah, this certainly gets to the broader idea of inciting harassment against someone. One of the things that we have taken action for that is not, I think, an explicit subsection inside of the guidelines on harassment, but has shown up a few times, would be things like walls of shame, public shaming, enticing harassment to go after another user. If you decide to publish a world that has a big wall of shame where you're saying you're indicating this user A or B are bad for whatever reason that might entice other users to go after them, we will consider that harassment. Individualized description would perhaps be the typographic version of that. We often think of it in terms of a picture, right? Here's the user's name, go after Bob, user Bob. If you are describing a user to a T to the point that we can reasonably infer, oh, they mean to target Bob, then we might be able to go after them for a similar case. Though it would certainly be something where it would have to be very specific. Whip says, I'm asking this because a specific ticket was dismissed, whether it was a targeted harassment to a user with a specific individualized description. So I have limited capacity to go over the details of a ticket inside of a public forum. I'm not going to provide details for what was reported to us. I'm not going to hand out that sort of information. We hold it in confidence. If you want further details on a specific ticket, my recommendation, of course, is to always just back to the ticket system, crack open a general inquiry, and start asking questions. We'll give you a response written out in text. If you don't like our response, you can, of course, give further questions inside of there, and we'll try to elaborate where we can. Nuki follows up with the reasonable, if you have a list of people who are banned from a world somewhere in that world as a transparency measure, at what point would that be harassment? Yeah, if there's an idea that this could be, any kind of big public display of people you've decided to take actions against could certainly run into the situation, what we'd perceive it as a wall of shame, and at the very least lead with a reminder or warning through the Resonite bot that that sort of thing should perhaps be taken down. I understand the interest in transparency here, but we're obviously sensitive to the possibility of that being not deliberately used, but certainly encouraging, enticing harassment against the individuals that are labeled on it. Whip has a follow-up. Wouldn't it be better to set a standard providing detail in the initial response for tickets? I've seen plenty of tickets get dismissed without a proper reason being given, and in some cases a reason why action should have been taken, but it was still dismissed. Yeah, we certainly want people, when we provide our first response to any ticket, to give as complete an answer as we can. But I'm going to acknowledge we're not perfect. There's always the possibility we'll miss a detail or that the person that we're responding to will have not liked a certain aspect of our ticket and want additional clarification. In that case, we always want them to ask further questions. I'm assuming in this case we attempted to provide the best reply we could to the given scenario, but it was one that didn't clarify everything that you'd want highlighted here. In that case, yeah, I encourage you to come back to us and point out areas that we could have provided more detail on so that we can do so. Nuki's asking, did he answer some of the leftover questions from the list I compiled last week before I came in? And the answer is kind of. We basically just started on the question that we were wrapping up last time. The hypothetical a couple of other mods had weighed in on, and we were going over one more time, the possibility of potentially harassing users while trying to deal with harassing users, and both users potentially breaking the guidelines in highly specific scenarios. I'm going to continue to chew through them as we have quiet periods in today's session. believe we're at the broader question right now, for there was a discussion of users who have been mass reported and or mass blocked for incidents, behaviors, blocking systems, etc. Bit of a background on this one, a chunk of text. I'm just going to read through it because we're having a relatively quiet day today. I know of a few users who have been mass blocked and or mass reported due to a common perception of them. What are the rules around talking about users and incidents like that? Pretty much falls in the same... Oh, do we have a question back here? I see, that is another question from last time. Well, we'll see if we can chew through down to there as well. When it comes to rules around talking about users and incidents like that, when we're talking about mass reporting or mass reporting users, our line when it comes to harassment is usually, again, the very, very straightforward. When it comes to one-on-one interactions, no persistent unwanted interactions. If you're telling someone about blocking or banning or some other action that's been taken through whatever context that lets you do so, and they don't want you to be communicating with you, and they've made it clear, any attempt to continue to do so could slip into harassment, and we generally discourage. If a person tells you, I don't want to talk to you, generally respect them. That's the best piece of advice I can give you as a moderator. Don't push things if a person is trying to cut communication. Now, when it comes to talking to other people, third parties, entirely unrelated to that user, just describing that there has been some sort of block that's gone out, some sort of report that's gone out, you're certainly welcome to talk to other people, tell them what has happened. You're not, as we tried to highlight with our guidelines around inciting harassment or walls of shame, you're not encouraged at that point to ever direct people to harass that user or take actions where you might harass that user. If you encourage self-moderation, we're not going to be grumpy about you. If you encourage the use of the tools that we already have, we're not going to be grumpy with you. It's just when that moves into something that could be harassment, we could have a problem with everyone involved. Nuki has conveniently copied this subsection of the questions over. What might the rule say about giving rock block recommendations? The things I just said, I guess, would be the answer to that. What about situations where people have been ostracized for publicly saying they're reporting someone? I mean, the nature of the ostracization could potentially fall under harassment, but we'd need specifics for that. I couldn't really tell you. If people just aren't talking to another person, they have no obligation to talk to another person, and nothing about the guidelines is going to come into play. If they're taking... Again, going to the steps where they reach communications or actions that the other user is requesting that happen to them, yeah, that same standard, that same rule of thumb could be triggered, and we could see some sort of guideline issues. What about situations where people have encouraged others to report something that happened to or in front of them? That is universally fine. Moderation is never going to go after people for encouraging users to make use of the moderation system. It would be very counterproductive to our way of trying to investigate these issues if we didn't encourage tickets coming in, and that alone does not meet the standard for harassment in any situation. What about situations where people are mass reporting someone and say it publicly as a reason to block them? If you're encouraging people to make use of moderation tools, self-moderation tools, blocking, the session kick, the session ban, that sort of thing, we're generally never going to have any kind of issue. If you are encouraging behaviors beyond and above that, again, you could see it slipping into a line where we have serious issues. I tend to roll back to these rules of thumb as often as I can, and there's a reason why they're rules of thumb, that persistent unwanted actions for harassment. It's something that I'm going to use as sort of the meter stick for a lot of these questions, and I bring it up as a rule of thumb so that users can try and apply it themselves too. There have also been situations of mutual grievance is blowing over into larger, which moderation seems to have been involved. What are you guys doing to prevent the race to report situations? We're never going to stop people from coming to talk to us. So in terms of preventing reporting, nothing. We're doing nothing. We always encourage you to come here and give us your tickets, tell us what's happening so we can investigate and assist. That's all right. When it comes to dealing with those scenarios, very often in the past, we encourage people to make use of self-moderation tools. We hand out a number of warnings or reminders to users involved if we have conflicting information, telling them about where the line for harassment is, encouraging them, again, to make use of self-moderation tools, and highlighting repetitively when behavior crosses into harassment. We know that those situations are often very messy, and typically involve nothing but a lot of testimony and often conflicting testimony. So as a moderator can be a particularly difficult situation to deal with, but that's when we lean back on dealing with reminders and dealing with telling people, of course, the lines when things become harassment so that there can be more concrete cases pulled out of those scenarios. Epic says, if I'm in a world, can I disclose that someone in the session or multiple users have blocked me? This is mainly so that they are aware that I can't see others and others can't see me. Yes. If you're just passing on information, no problem. If you say, Bob blocked me, go give Bob shit, that's a problem. You've incited people to go harass Bob. Please don't do that. You didn't say you were going to in the question. I don't mean to infer you would ever do that, but that's where the line is drawn. If you're just informing people, it's fine. I see that we have a couple of recommended questions. Relage 86. Be here in 2 seconds. So this is concerning another question from the last subset. Should I scroll to the bottom? I see we have some discussion at the end of the previous thread. I see, and I think Relago's question is the one on grooming. How do I tell the difference if someone is flirting versus grooming? Generally speaking, the definition moderation is going to be working on, as flirting is just it's two people of age flirting with one another. Grooming is when that is happening between an adult and a minor. If there's a more specific breakdown you're looking for, we can get into details, but that's going to be the easiest, most concise thing I think I can give you. Adult and a minor is where we start concerning grooming. I see there's some discussion on a specific year distinction. We're not following necessarily that definition when it comes to grooming. We're just looking between adults and minors, interactions that we would have problems with there. I know that there are a number of countries that have like gradients for when there's a problem between the ages of groups. We're not looking for any of that. We cut things by 18 adult and minors, and generally discourage adults from interacting with minors in that regard across the board. Epic asks a follow-up. In addition, am I also allowed to disclose my experiences with that user, positive or negative? You are welcome to have opinions, including negative ones, about other users, the moderation team, the staff, anyone on Resonite. If you then go, as I continuously bring this back to, encouraging things that could be done against those users, that's where we run into issues. If you are making a public display of all of the bad users and posting it in your world and either publishing the world or posting it continuously, that could be a problem as well. But unless you're taking that additional action, you're just honestly telling people about what's happening and not enticing any further actions, you can do that. That's fine. You're allowed to have negative opinions. Red asks, following up on the mass report or mass blocking situation being fine. What about false allegations that cause a perfectly fine user to be majorly blocked by a large amount of users on the player base? Because on one hand, it is self-moderation, but it's a large thing that can block a user that did nothing wrong to be blocked out of a large amount of the game. So our ability to investigate incorrect beliefs that one user might have about another is obviously going to be somewhat limited. If someone is inciting harassment against another user, targeting them for things that are false, you can certainly submit a ticket and we can try and have a conversation with you. But generally speaking, we're quite willing to let people engage in self-moderation tools to whatever extent they would like. If you think the reasons for why they've decided to block you are incorrect, they might not agree with that. And if it comes down to a subjective interpretation of certain events, we're certainly not going to get in there and declare that someone is not allowed to make use of self-moderation tools based on other people disagreeing with them. If you have further follow-ups to that or specific examples, again, I always encourage a follow-up question. Nuki has a follow-up to the previous one. A race to report situation is when two people with grievances could both report each other and have to worry about whether the other one reporting first will cause them issues. In its worst cases, this can be weaponized by a bad actor to false report someone before they are reported. They're asking, is there a safeguard for this sort of behavior? And essentially, we're certainly not going to treat a first report as more credible than a follow-up report. And almost always when we get conflicting testimony, we'll lean back on either, well, A, first, trying to find more concrete testimony from or concrete evidence from both people submitting tickets, but in the absence of the ability to do so, working more with reminders and warnings rather than concrete account restrictions. And of course, encouraging self-moderation tools to allow people to better deal with that situation rather than just handing out steep account restrictions at a first strike. Relage86 says, I see that was the answer Miss Raccoon gave me. I would like more details, please. I am uncertain on what details. Grooming, again, is going to be flirting that breaks across minor and adult ages between the two individuals. What bit of that do you want further details on? Hyperzen says, follow-up, you shouldn't encourage people to block another person. If you are starting a witch hunt campaign, a big poster inside of your world, again, we're going to run into the situation that we might treat this as harassment or inciting harassment, even if it's coded to identify it as just block them or just ban them or something, because you're targeting the individual in an institution you have published onside Resonite. And that could be a problem that we'll want to have a conversation with you about, likely leading with reminders and probably asking you to take it down. But if you're just talking to people, again, you're perfectly welcome to have opinions and you're perfectly welcome to encourage self-moderation. If we see you making posts in Discord, hey, everyone should ban user Bob, or making a world, we've got a big monument in the world that says everyone should ban user Bob. That's the sort of thing where, again, we imagine this, despite it being coded in terms relating to self-moderation, could be perceived as a call to harass user Bob, and we would want to talk to you. Idle conversations between friends where you acknowledge bad things happen to you and you have a bad opinion about user Bob is fine, but materially different, we think, than enticing harassment or inciting harassment in a larger group of people. So we have a broader conversation about the mass reporting going on there, but no concrete questions out of it yet. Releg, if I'm butchering your name, by the way, please tell me. Releg says, that answer was satisfactory enough, thank you, but I was also referring to if someone is flirting with me in general. How do I tell which one? I have been groomed by a pedophile before, and as a result, depending on the person, it's sometimes difficult for me to tell whether someone is grooming, flirting, or otherwise just being a cute furry. That's why I asked, though, everyone I've met in Resonite thus far are the third option. I see. So the general concern is, like, how does one identify this behavior? In short, short of getting the ages of everyone involved and being very confident in assessing the difference between when a person is just being polite to you or when a person might be attempting to entice behaviors from you that could be like adult content in nature, I would encourage you to simply make it what your preferences involved very clear. Rulag? I'm sorry, I got clarification for a name halfway through that response. User 86, who is the new name of the person asking questions so far. I apologize. Does that cover the general distinction? I understand that it could be very subjective trying to identify what a person's intentions are when talking to you. And it's always going to be difficult if you don't know their age and you don't know what they're interested in doing. It's a messy situation. But I think if you make clear what your age is and what you don't want coming from other users, that'll cut through 90% of the chaff immediately. If people continue to persist in a flirty fashion, that's the sort of thing where you're welcome to introduce moderation to the situation, or of course, make use of user moderation tools, either blocking the user, cutting them out of your sessions. I do not think off the cuff, or even if I had a significant amount of time to sit down and write it out, I would be able to identify a concrete line in the sand between when a person is just being nice versus flirting. Furthermore, I'd probably slide down to the line of enticing actions that be adult content in nature for when I start identifying an individual as engaging in behaviors that immediately allow us to engage in account restrictions with moderation. The broader idea of grooming just being flirting over a period of time with an underage user would be the sort of thing that we'd have to see sort of patterns coming out. Zipping back up to the top here, we have Hyperzen asking, so there is a considerable distinction between user content and public speech when it comes to those sort of instances of inciting public harassment? Yes, I think so. That would certainly be a clear line that we could identify when it comes to published worlds, when it comes to worlds that are hosted in a public view. Versus just talking with people, there are certainly, it's easier to imagine the latter as inciting harassment due to their persistent broadcast as opposed to an idle conversation. You could imagine public speech falling into the same category if a person went into every world and did nothing but have that conversation in every single world repetitively for days on end, but it would be difficult to see them fall into the same sort of range. Nuki follows up with an interesting example as a response to user 86, where they're talking about repeated invitations towards adult content when it's been made clear that one of the users, or the user that they're trying to get this out of, is a minor. And that immediately is guideline breaking as it relates to everything we have written concerning adult content, which you're not allowed to do in any capacity with anyone, including just bringing it out or having it in the same session as you, unless you've confirmed that people are 18 years of age. This is going to trip guidelines long before we have a conversation around grooming, but is also very obviously bad. We have a broad series of questions saying there was discussion on the current paradigm of moderation activity, transparency, and the perception thereof. Has the moderation team ever considered a more hands-on approach to conflict mediation? I just had everything slide out of my view by a picture. One second. Ever tried a more hands-on approach to conflict mediation and problem redirection to the community? Even just talking to the users in these situations might help with the feeling that moderation ever does anything. I'm seeing a couple of quotes here framing that in a broader sense. Moderation, as I've occasionally liked to highlight previously, don't act like beat cops. They don't come into your session as moderators and tell you how you have to behave and spot for something that we've done previously or really want to encourage at this point. I understand the use and interest of having people to come into complex social situations and try to get everyone to calm down and have cooler heads prevail. That's not something that I'm certainly currently employing moderators to do. our response, or our goal as it comes to guiding the community in this regard, is to try and provide you with tools to self-mediate these situations, as we expect the user base to wildly outstrip moderation's capacity to engage with day-to-day conversations if we ever grew bigger, and even right now it would be quite difficult to keep up. And in addition to that, of course, provide you with an avenue that you can seek additional assistance if our toolkit that we've given you so far, the session moderation tools, the blocking tools, are insufficient to deal with it. That is, unfortunately, effectively a no. At this point, there's not really a plan for moderators to go in and try and resolve tense social situations among friend groups. It's not really a role we're planning for the volunteer team. It's not really the broader direction for moderation as a role in the community at the moment. We want to give you the tools so that you can curate your experience on platform. We want to give you an option to come talk to us if those tools are insufficient at handling it. And we want to encourage you to try and mediate wherever you can conflict that you encounter in the community on your own. But we're not providing counselors, mediators, or beat cops to come in and do that for you. Sorry, as we have a follow-up question from Panda. Okay, so if a non-furry like myself were to ever wear any form of avatar that is more than this, and I get people coming up to me to touch me, say things that I may not want to hear, etc., especially if I don't know them well or at all, what rights do I as a user have to stop them from doing shit to me if I am A, the session host, or B, a user in the session? I understand I/the world host can remove them if need be, but what other options do I have? Like if I make a system that prevents people from doing stuff to me unless they're on a whitelist and they report me for that, am I liable in any form because they've decided to trigger my systems? Ah, the use of self-moderation systems to defend yourself. Okay, moderation's general encouragement in this sort of instance is always going to be to make use of the tools we've given you. Yeah, you highlight that there's session moderation tools for kicking and banning, but there's also a blocking system in place that can remove a user's ability, or at least severely limit a user's ability to interact with you if you block them. Of course, communication is the first step when it comes to involving moderation. If people come up to do things to you and you tell them, hey, don't do those things to me, and then they keep doing it, feel free to submit a ticket, screenshot, give us a little bit of video. We will take action. That's pretty black and white harassment. If the moderation tools we've given you, like blocking, are insufficient, or they're attempting to circumvent a blocking to continue to go after you, that's certainly an indication of harassment. Feel free to submit a ticket. We will step in. When it comes to making tools on your own, there's certainly the possibility that tools you make could be problematic. If the things that you've put in place to stop people from interacting with you are very disruptive to an entire session, perhaps it plays blaringly loud noises when they do a thing you don't want to do, and this inadvertently affects the experience of other people in the session, yeah, you could run into a problem with moderation yourself. And we tend to discourage those sorts of systems for that reason. We want you to make use of the tools we give you, and you want you to come to us if those tools are insufficient. If you've designed a tool that simply makes it impossible for people to interact with you in a way you don't want them to, that's very unlikely to be a problem. But I'd certainly discourage retaliatory measures built into one's avatar. That can become problematic. Specs asks, how does moderation keep track of how decisions are made to ensure consistency and precedent? Guidelines have some amount of interpretation of them, so does moderation cite example tickets alongside guidelines to help moderators stay consistent in their decisions or identify where guidelines should be adjusted to resolve discrepancies? Yes. Okay, that's not sufficient. We have precedent. We have something called the Mod Manual. It has a number of previous decisions baked into it, certainly ones that were contentious and had a lot of back and forth and weren't immediately clear inside of the mod team. Whenever we get that sort of broader discussion surrounding a ticket, we don't tend to provide an exact link to that ticket so much as the Mod Manual will describe the hypothetical and then the decisions made in that hypothetical going forward. We just use precedent, exactly what you'd guessed. Easton asks, can I make a system on my avatar that will say I have been silenced? That will be a recording of my voice whenever I get silenced through the session tab. I mean, I'd be faintly worried about that system breaking and just repeating noises, but
at its most basic, if it's just your level of speaking, it's not repeating, it's not something that could be disruptive to the session, then that might not be a problem. Again, the same rules that apply to a user in a session will apply to any system you make. If the thing you make could be, just like a user, disruptive or harassing or problematic, we will treat it as if you're doing those things, even if it's a response to something else or the world itself has triggered in you, right? Like, I don't imagine you designed it this way, but a particularly bad version of that would be your avatar repetitively saying, I have been silenced, I have been silenced, I have been silenced, nonstop, if it ever detects that you have been silenced. That could quickly be disruptive to a session, and yeah, could lead to issues if you get a report on that. Nuki provides a beautifully succinct version of the previous conversation that we were having with Panda in regards to self-defense tools. Too long, didn't read. Personal space bubble shields, good. Boopers that make you go flying, bad. And yeah, that works. Passive things that prevent people from doing things to you don't want, absolutely excellent. But make sure the things that you're doing to other players aren't disruptive, couldn't be harassment to their own right, or we'll certainly treat it like such if we become aware. That said, I do think I'm going to have to slowly bring this to an end. I'm at this point 17 minutes past when I should have told you I'm cutting this, and I have to call it at some point. So I'm going to say, if you're already asking a question, typing away at it, please continue to ask that question. If not, I'd encourage you, as always, bring those questions to next week's moderation office hours, where I'll be available, same time, same location, probably for 30 minutes that time, but we'll see how good I am at time management. Nuki asks, I think we got everything from last week, and I believe we did chew through most of it. But of course, if there's follow-up questions or other things come out of further discussions in the community, this is a wonderful forum to go over them. I do quite like getting those sorts of questions compiled and brought in. It gives me a lot to chat, as opposed to sitting here sipping coffee in relative silence for 30 minutes. Penn asks, sort of a logical follow-up here, what if I don't want people touching me at all? If they go for the booper, that either A, exists, that or B, doesn't, then that just shows people going to touch people no matter what, which is my issue. My recommendation, if you don't want people to touch you at all inside of this sort of medium, is to make that very clear. Of course, you could just tell people, hey, don't touch me, every time you meet a new person, because you're just not comfortable with virtual physicality, but if repeating that nonstop is kind of irritating, my next recommendation, of course, would be some sort of obvious signage, part of your name tag, perhaps, part of your avatar, perhaps, some notice provided to people. We draw the line for harassment at persistent, unwanted interactions, because that first one, in a lot of these instances, we're going to give them a bit of a pass on. They may not have been aware, they might not have meant any ill intent. But of course, if you've made it clear to a person, you don't want to be touched and they persist, yeah, we're sliding into harassment. Nuki asks another question relating to user 86. Again, I'm very sorry for not being able to manage names. Sometimes they get away from me. But if a minor somehow sneaks or lies their way into an 18 plus situation, how should this be handled on our end? How would it be handled on yours? If you become aware of them, of course, remove them immediately. If you know that someone's deceived their way into a session like that, you can kind of assume that they've immediately violated what would be the rules of that session. And you're welcome to tell us under that sort of guideline breakage, a person snuck into your session when your session has made it very, very clear that the only people allowed in it should be 18 plus, presumably you have some sort of mechanism in place. Let us know about all of those things. We would want to be aware of that. That context is important. And how would we handle it on ours? Assuming we found out about it in some third-party fashion, we would likely try and reach out for additional clarification. Or, of course, whoever notified us, we would tell them to tell everyone else in the situation to provide additional details they can, so that we can become aware of what happened and how it happened. And a user asking, you're talking to me when you say user 86, right? Yes, user 86, I am. I'm just going to call you Ral. How you doing, Ral? I apologize. I'm not great at names sometimes. Thank you very much coming to my office hours. I appreciate you and the questions you brought here. And as a follow-up saying, get to understand that if these people would be outside in real life, no one would just go up to other people and touch people. Yeah, there's certainly different standards that we find inside of VR in real life, and we're still trying to navigate that space. From an etiquette perspective, I would encourage no user touch another user unless first making it clear that that user is all right with being touched. But when it comes to harassment, I do allow for guideline-breaking behavior before I'm going to start issuing account restrictions, that one mulligan of the other user saying, hey, do not do that. And if the other person persists, let us know. You tried to be straightforward, you tried to clarify things, and they didn't get the message. Few people are bringing up the idea of consent bracelets right now, highlighting how you might not want to, which allows users to highlight if they might not want to have any sort of interaction with other users. Certainly something that I could recommend in that way as well. Some sort of notification. I can understand the frustration with different sort of social standards inside of VR in real life and wanting them to push closer to real life. That's the sort of thing I expect to develop over time as people build these proper rules of etiquette inside of VR. Until then, those are the tools you have, though. Speak to them, provide notice. If there are issues, reach out to us. That said, with that, I think I am going to close the office hours for the day because I think we've run through all the questions people were typing.